a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Genevieve.
All right, here we go.
A new conversation on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Okay, here it is. It's a story I cannot wait to talk about. It's almost 40 feet tall. It's an odd shade of blue, and it is suffocating homes in one neighborhood. The new building is so close, Dave. The city admits it messed up, so will they make the property owner tear it down? The controversy is building. Right here on our show.
I think the most shocking detail of this entire story is that the city admitted they messed up. When has a city ever said, yep, that's on me, my bad? That's the real news.
Dave and Dejanovic.
Okay, picture this in your minds. There is a monster-sized warehouse-looking building. It is literally painted blue. All 40 feet of it. And it is now cozied right up to homes in a Mill Creek neighborhood. City Hall saying, made a mistake during the permitting process.
And I am camping out on the mayor's lawn until that bad boy comes down. It is, hey, you got a new neighbor, mayor. It's me and my tent in your front yard. There's many things we want to hit. Who dropped the ball on this? Why the city says the building can't come down and won't come down. And then in 30 minutes, it's your turn to talk. What do you think the city should do?
I think after you hear the entire story, we're also going to hear from City Hall. We're also going to hear from the homeowner. We've got live interviews lined up. I think you're going to be able to come to your own conclusions. I know I've come to mine. I'll share mine with you in just a bit. But first, let's set the scene, Dave. You leave for work one morning. And you see mountains behind your home, and they're beautiful. And that's why you bought the home, because you love the mountain view behind your home. And then you come home in the evening, and bam, there it is, situated right behind your home's back deck. View is gone, and you got a big blue warehouse-looking building right behind you. Homeowner Scott Brown is speaking out about what happened to him.
Well, I just saw that, and it wasn't there the morning before, and then all of a sudden it was. And so, I was devastated. And just like curious as to what that was, and not knowing, is that apartment complexes? Like, what is that that's going up? But you could see through the framework the mountains, and so that's what I knew I was going to be losing. You know, it was just a matter of time before the siding went up and that view was completely gone. So I was super disappointed.
The way he described it, and he has pictures of it, he said, I could see the framework, and the framework perfectly framed Mount Olympus. And he realized, oh my goodness, as soon as siding goes up, I've lost that view. That beautiful view of one of the most famous mountains in the entire state, and it's gone. Absolutely gone. So, and it's not just the view. It's not like trees are covering it up. It is an eyesore.
It is right there. I think if he breathed in, he could suck part of the building siding into his nose. I mean, it is that close to his back deck. And it obstructs the view of everything. You're right, Dave. And I don't know what they were thinking painting it blue. Oh, my goodness. This is all
does
happening.
Does any color make it better? Honestly, does, like, hot pink probably doesn't improve it or ruin it. It's just there.
It's all happening in a Mill Creek neighborhood. This is right along 3300 South, so you can get a kind of a picture of where it is if you're driving around the valley. You know this area. I think there's a Smith's up the road. You know, I mean, 3300 South's kind of a main thoroughfare. No one in City Hall apparently realized that zoning behind the homes there is approved for both commercial and for homes, which allows for taller buildings. And the city at one point decided, you know, we're going to stop construction on this, time out. So they go get an attorney who's an expert in this field. He goes, yeah, your hands are tied. Here's KSL Television's Matt Rascone, who did this story last night at 10 on KSL 5.
Mill Creek's planning director says the property the building's on is zoned for both commercial and multifamily use, a fact that they were not initially aware of.
The city has verbalized a desire to work with us.
But at the same time,
we've been told that the building is definitely not coming down.
Like his neighbors, Brown is still figuring out what this will mean for him going forward.
Nobody says, I want to buy that house because there's a giant warehouse behind it.
He knew what he had.
I don't come out on my back porch right now.
And now, he knows he'll never get it back.
It's that frustrating. It's like, I just don't want to go out there and see it.
For me, it's not even hurting the property value. It's hurting your experience as you live there right now. I've lived in my home for 17 years. I love my home. I don't want to leave my home. I like my neighbors. I like everything about it. So if I lose the view of my mountains, and I have a beautiful view of my mountains, it ruins my experience. And you can say, oh, just sell it or just move. You'll find a different place. Or maybe this settlement from the city will help it financially. But the fact is, you love your home. You love your view. You love your neighbors. You're losing more than just the property value.
This is so after the fact. You buy the home, and then all of a sudden, bam, city permits something to happen. And boy, before you know it, you've got your entire view blocked. Or you're right, Dave. It is just too close for comfort. So neighbors now stuck with what the building we're calling Big Blue. Brown told KSL-TV the city's trying to work with him, maybe changing the color of the building. Dave, I think it's spot on. I'm not sure that hot pink would be any better. I'm not sure if sand beige would help matters at all.
I mean, nobody says, I want to buy that house because there's a giant warehouse behind it. You know, and so when you walk up the driveway and that's what you see and you're looking at several different homes, that's going to be a factor. If all things are equal, the fact that there's a 37-foot warehouse behind our property definitely has an influence. Not everybody wants a mountain.
Oh, we're not done with this story yet. Far from it. We've got a live interview with the homeowner, and I want to ask him, will he sue the city over this? And in 20 minutes, it's your turn to talk. If this was your home, what should the city do to make it right for you and your family? 801-575-7668. Taking your phone call.
Dave and Dujanovic. Get all news all morning, then go in-depth about the news.
Live with Greg Skordis. He's a former prosecutor. We're talking about an adoption scheme.
With Dave and Debbie.
These adoptive parents could lose their child.
That's exactly what could happen.
News at 5. Talk at 9. On KSL News Radio, Utah's news station.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Dave and Dujanovic.
It is a massive warehouse building. It's painted some sort of hue of blue. It is almost 40 feet tall, and it's now cozied up to homes in a Mill Creek neighborhood.
An eyesore would be a nice way to say it. Like, it's an eyesore. But I'll tell you this. I want to know what's inside that eyesore. I want to know what is in that building right now.
Oh, yeah.
It's a warehouse. It's a warehouse of what?
Sure, because it's inches from your home now.
Deb, is that the new marijuana grow field? Is that what it is? Conspiracy theories abound. We're going to talk to the homeowner in about 10 minutes. It'll be your turn to talk. What should City Hall do to make it right?
And we're also going to have a live interview with City Hall. I mean, we're literally going to call up City Hall. What do you got to say about this? City Hall admits, made a mistake. It was just an oversight, a missed opportunity to stop this building from going up. We're going to get all the answers to our questions in the next segment from City Hall. But says that legally they just really had their hands tied with this after they consulted with an attorney. Now, the building is right behind a bail bond business, from what I understand. And Dave, it is feet. I would have loved to have been out there as a reporter and taken a measuring tape from Scott's Brown property line to that building and see how many inches I would have to walk to touch that big blue 40-foot building.
Debbie, honestly, I bet it's farther than you think. The fact is, it's so large, it feels like it's on top of you. But I think we'll be surprised when we talk to the homeowner. I bet we'll be surprised how far away it is. But it does look like it's right on top of you because it's 40 feet tall. I don't know how wide it is, but it's huge.
Speaking of the homeowner, Scott Brown, you're the homeowner.
Yes.
Your view is just gone of the mountains. And how close is that home? Have you taken a measuring tape, or excuse me, that building from your home? Have you taken a measuring tape and measured it?
It's 10 feet.
Okay, so I was totally wrong. It's right on top of you.
My goodness, I'm so sorry. You can't even step on your back deck without feeling like you're being overwhelmed by metal and a hue of blue that I don't even know. What color is that?
Yeah, it's kind of a Tom Heel blue, Carolina blue.
Great for a basketball jersey, not so great as a neighbor.
Exactly.
Are you angry?
Yeah, super frustrating. I bought my house because it had an unobstructed view of Mount Olympus, and I realized that, you know, when you own a commercial property, that you're allowed to build whatever you want on that commercial property. But with this specific case, it's a mixed use, and so that changes things a little bit. And this is a building that never should have gone up, and you know, it blocks my entire view, but I have neighbors who this building spans the entire width of their backyard. And again, it's 10 feet from the back of their property line. So when they get up in the morning and look out their back window, all they see is a 37-foot tall blue wall that spans the width of their yard. And again, I just feel like this definitely decreases our property value.
Yeah, no question. And really, the quality of life, you know, you enjoy your home, you enjoy your neighbors, you become accustomed to living a certain way, and this definitely interrupts it. My question, I think, is unfortunately, this happens all the time, where you have a neighbor that builds a house and it blocks a view or it obstructs it. It just kind of seems like this happens all the time. I mean, if you're the first one on the lot, it seems like everybody else is encroaching. Do you have any or sympathy, I guess, for the building owner of what they're trying to do? They're trying to have a business, or is it just too miserable for you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure. It's a bail bond company, and my understanding is that this warehouse is going to store their assets that are a part of their business. I don't understand, and I'm not in bail bond, but I don't understand the need for a 37-foot tall structure. I mean, I think legally 15 feet is the tallest thing that you can legally drive down the street. So whatever they put in there, they've got to get there. And so I guess it's just confusing. And that just might be me not understanding. But, yeah, it's just one of those deals that when you have a business in a neighborhood, I just would think that they would take into consideration the neighborhood that their business is in before they would make a decision to build something so enormous that really is right in the center of an established neighborhood.
Scott Brown is a homeowner in the Mill Creek area. Got home from work or went outside one day, and there it was, this big blue massive warehouse-type building right on the property. It was built right behind him not too long ago. City of Mill Creek has said there was they basically have admitted that they've messed up here, Scott.
Yes.
Will you sue the city?
Say that again.
Will you sue the city?
Well, I mean, we're trying to work with the city, and the city has said that they have a desire to work with us to kind of come to some, you know, reasonable solution to a complicated situation. I've reached out to the city. I've been in contact with the development director, Francis Lilly. The city attorney and the mayor have been CC'd on all of our correspondence. And although they continue to say they're willing to work with us, they haven't yet proposed any viable solution other than they stated at a meeting with the residents early on that they would try to work with the owner to plant trees and do some landscaping and maybe paint the building, which, again, that doesn't really do much for the property owners around that. I mean, trees have leaves for 5-6 months out of the year, and the rest of the year we're staring at a big blue wall. So that just doesn't seem like an acceptable solution to something that's, in my mind, a pretty significant mistake that was made that's having a profound impact on, you know, at least 5 adjacent properties and other people in the neighborhood who can see the building, although it's not adjacent to their property. They're kind of up in arms too. So it's brought our community together. The neighbors are all out talking to one another, and we stand in the middle of the street and stare at it and have conversations in the evening. So
yeah, common enemy will bond right. together a neighborhood for sure. So what do you think a fair settlement would be?
Well, I think whatever it is needs to acknowledge that this decision and the building that was built has depreciated the value of our homes. And so I just feel like it's only right for the city to somehow invest back in those properties. You know, and I'd had conversations with the city, you know, when I moved in here because I had a mountain view. And I understand, well, I don't understand, but I can get that there are some people who have other priorities and that a mountain view is not something that they care deeply about. However, I've never known anybody that would say, oh, I want to buy that house because it's got this great 37-foot wall behind it. You know, so when you're comparing my house, if I were to ever sell this house, to an equal house in a different neighborhood, I'm going to lose every time. So my house has now become much more difficult to sell because I have this towering edifice behind me that kind of looms over my property.
Scott Brown.
So do all the other neighbors as well.
Thank you so much for joining us live on the show to talk about this massive blue building that has now gone up behind your home. And in the next segment, we want you to keep your ear to the radio, Scott, because we're going to talk to Francis Lilly with Mill Creek City Hall. We're going to ask, what do you plan to do to compensate the residents of this neighborhood where you've allowed this monster-sized warehouse to be built?
Dave and Dujanovic. Get all news all morning, then go in-depth about the news.
Live with Greg Skordis. He's a former prosecutor. We're talking about an adoption scheme.
With Dave and Debbie.
These adoptive parents could lose their child.
That's exactly what could happen.
News at 5, talk at 9 on KSL News Radio, Utah's news station. Dave and Dujanovic.
All right, here we go.
A new conversation on KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
We're talking about a 37-foot tall warehouse-type building with an odd color of blue all over it that the homeowner we just spoke with on the line in the last segment said is a whopping 10 feet from his home now. And yep. It's all been city approved.
That's pretty cozy. That's right on top of it. And if you've seen the pictures, it's an eyesore. I mean, I want to be nice about it. I understand people are trying to run a business and it's zoned for it. But the fact is, it's an eyesore. And I feel bad for this owner because not only does he have to see this every single day, and it's not just him. It's half a dozen neighbors that are obstructed in some way. So I feel bad for them because they do. They get together and they just stare at it and they talk about it. And they're like, oh, isn't that the worst?
Dave reached out to Mill Creek City Hall first thing this morning. And lo and behold, we've got Francis Lilly, the Mill Creek Planning and Zoning Director, live on the line with us. Good morning.
Good morning, Dave and Deb. How are you?
We're good. I think you've got a group of homeowners in the Mill Creek area that aren't so good. So let me just cut right to the chase and ask you, how is the city going to compensate these homeowners for the situation that they find themselves in?
Well, so that's a really good question, Debbie. And so our goal is to continue meeting with the homeowners and to come up with a solution that's fair to all parties. And what I can tell you is that, you know, conversations are ongoing. I'm trying to schedule a meeting with Mr. Brown and the mayor here as soon as possible so that we can get something in works. I acknowledge that the building is a problem. And, you know, it was a total surprise to me that it was painted Smurf blue. I was the last person to know about that.
I think the whole city can see it now, Francis.
We were trying to describe it, Francis, and I'm afraid you hit it perfectly. I mean, we've been looking. We get paid to make words happen and come out of our mouths, and you just stole it right out. It's Smurf blue.
It is Smurf blue.
Okay, so it sounds to me like you are sort of hedging with the idea that there will be some sort of a settlement made with these homeowners, and they'll be somewhat compensated for the you know, I guess you could call it pain and suffering. You got to step out there every single day and look at the Smurf blue building. But on top of that, they claim that they've lost property value.
Yeah, I don't know. I think putting a number on, loss of view is a really hard thing. These things have been litigated before, but that's almost beside the point. Like, I want to come up with a solution that's going to work for everybody. I'm working on it. We're having discussions internally. We're having discussions with staff. We're having discussions with the neighbors. Those discussions are preliminary, and I hope you understand, right? Like, I don't necessarily want to. I don't want to suggest anything because I don't know what that's going to look like yet. But it is something that I take very seriously. I trust that you all read my Facebook post that was posted a couple of weeks ago about the situation. And I hope that our intentions came clear. We're very sorry about the situation, and we understand that it means something to the people who are immediately adjacent to this structure.
I know it's never this easy, but was there ever a discussion about tearing it down or just stopping that construction?
Sure, there was. In fact, we did issue a stop work order. That's what they call it in the trade. And we reviewed the permit, and we actually consulted an outside attorney with some expertise on land use. And we were advised by him that really requiring the building to be torn down or rebuilt would not be upheld in a court. If the owner were to sue the city. We're getting a little bit in the weeds here, but the long story short is I can't legally require that building to be moved or torn down. So my options here are somewhat limited. But within that limited framework, I think there are some things we can do, and we've been talking with the residents about what we can do to fix this.
Francis Lilly is the Mill Creek Planning and Zoning Director. We've got him on the line because there's a massive blue. He called it Smurf blue. He nailed the color. Smurf blue building that went up. Neighbors say it's about 10 feet behind their homes. Francis, I'm not sure if you've taken a measuring tape out there or not. Is it that close to the homes?
Well, it's 10 feet behind their property lines. Okay, so I don't know exactly how far away their homes are from their backyards or side yards, but it is 10 feet from the boundary of their properties.
Now, we've got it on the app right now. In fact, if you're watching us on the KSL News Radio app, you can see that building, and it is towering. I'm telling you, when I joked earlier that I think the whole city can see that Smurf blue building, I think a lot of the city in Mill Creek could see that Smurf blue building.
Oh, there's right. No question. It is there. I mean, it is not subtle. Yep. But Francis Lilly joining us. He's the director of Mill Creek's Planning and Zoning. Now, Francis, anytime somebody builds up or out or around. This is a problem a city has all the time. In fact, in downtown Salt Lake City, there's going to be 6 high-rises in the next couple of years that are popping up. And sure enough, it's going to interrupt somebody's view. Anytime you build, it's going to get somebody angry. So what do? Do you try to make everyone happy, or do you just say, sorry, folks, this is just part of building?
Well, so, you know, it's obviously easier if the plans that are presented to the city are accurate and complete, and if the city's review process is accurate. And obviously the approval of the Smurf Blue Shed laid bare problems in our own kind of processes, and those are things that, you know, I have spent, or we have spent as a team, a lot of time working on in response to this. Of course, it's always better if you know, the project was approved and it met the code. There are situations where, you know, up and down our major corridors here, where residential properties are right up against commercial properties, and so, you know, issues with height and view will always be with us.
But Francis, I want to know where did City Hall mess up? Where was the mix up on this that you made the mistake?
Oh, sure. So the property in question sits on 2 zones, okay, and which is itself a very unusual circumstance. Most buildings are in 1 zone, but this one, going back decades, was in both a commercial and multifamily zone, and it wasn't clear. I know this is kind of hard to describe, but it wasn't clear on our map that it was in 2 zones. And so that's how it was missed, because the setbacks and the heights and the various entitlements that are allowed in one zone weren't allowed in the other. And there's a process that you have to go through in our code for situations where buildings are in 2 zones that weren't followed in this case, because it wasn't clear to the applicant, to the person who applied for the building, and to the planner who reviewed it.
Well, thank you so much, Francis Lilly, Mill Creek's Planning and Zoning Director, for jumping on the line with us this morning and explaining how in the world, as he described it, this Smurf Blue warehouse shed, as he in his words, wound up in neighbors' backyards in Mill Creek. What a mess. How do they undo it now? What are your thoughts? It's your turn to talk. We're taking your calls. 801-575-7668. If this was your home and this was your neighborhood, how would you expect to be compensated?
Dave and Dujanovic. Get all news all morning, then go in-depth about the news.
Live with Greg Skordis. He's a former prosecutor. We're talking about an adoption scheme.
With Dave and Debbie.
These adoptive parents could lose their child.
That's exactly what could happen.
News at 5, talk at 9 on KSL News Radio, Utah's news station. Dave and Dujanovic.
We've been talking for the last 45 minutes about a Smurf Blue shed that's 37 feet tall. It just went up in a Mill Creek neighborhood. And this listener texted in, Dave, and said, I just drove by that building you guys are talking about. It's a monster. What is Mill Creek thinking?
First of all, I wish I had a shed like that. That would be an amazing shed. But it is. It's really no laughing matter for these homeowners that just walked up one day to their house, and then they see this frame, this huge, nearly 40-foot frame. And just as the days went by, the siding goes up, the roof goes on, and their beautiful view, this gorgeous view of Mount Olympus, one of the most famous mountains in our entire state, beautiful state, is just gone. And they're heartbroken about it.
Let's recap what we've learned in the last 45 minutes about this Smurf Blue shed. First of all, the city of Mill Creek admitting it messed up during the permitting process. That homeowners are upset and somehow want to be compensated. That there will be a meeting between the mayor and homeowners. The city is working to schedule that meeting. And that building is not going to come down. It's not going to come down because the city found out after hiring an attorney who's an expert in this area that it is too legally risky and financially risky to mandate that the building and the owner tear it down.
And Debbie, this is unfortunately a very, very bad precedent to set, to have a building go up and then have to appease all the angry neighbors, because quite frankly, every time someone builds something, you're encroaching on a view, or you're making access a little more difficult, or you're overpopulating the area. Down in Salt Lake, downtown, we're going to have 6 or 7 skyscrapers pop up in the next 2 or 3 years. Now, who do you think is going to be angry when those 6 skyscrapers pop up?
Well, in this case, the city has admitted it messed up. It messed up. And so I guess the hope would be, if you're a homeowner, is that your city hall has its eye on the ball when requests are being submitted, when plans are being submitted, that it knows exactly what's going on and it stays in step with not only the neighborhood, but also the property owner who's building that shed. Here's what's going to be used for, according to the homeowners, what they've learned. Because the minute we saw that, I wondered, what in the world is going to be going on inside that shed? I would want to know if it was 10 feet from my home. And one of the property owners said they've figured out that the bail bond company owns it, and they're going to be storing and warehousing all of their, I don't know, their paperwork. My goodness, how many people are you bailing out of jail?
It's collateral, Deb. Yeah, I'll post 100,000 bail, but I'm going to need that boat.
My opinion is that the city should at least compensate the homeowners for their loss in property value. And then probably some for, I don't know, shock and awe when you walk outside on your deck and you see this big blue building out in the backyard. So what's your opinion? 801-575-7668. We're giving you your turn to talk.
The thing that I thought of first off was when the entity was approaching the city council to get a permit for this, you can't help but think that they knew what they were doing. They knew that there probably would be people complaining about it or whatever, just because of how big it was. And you would think that they would have thought about that, knowing that they're going to have a problem here eventually. They're going to have some pushback. And it just kind of bugs me that they went ahead and did it anyways, knowing that it will be a problem for people, and now they're going to have to deal with the problem.
Well, and it's a big blue shed. The thing is, if you're running a business and you're running a bail bonds business, it's very easy to say, oh yeah, which one of you guys? Oh, you're the one with the ginormous blue shed? I mean, there's some marketing in this. You can kind of see why they chose a very bright color. Is this brings attention to your business.
I'm sorry, you need to at least repaint that thing sand beige. You've got to at least go settle with a
that
neutral
down.
Color.
How about a big mural?
Some people on our text line are saying, paint it with a mountain mural. I don't know if that's going to make the neighbors happy.
That makes it better.
Of course, this is a bad situation. When are we ever going to realize that the big Benjamin that's paid to the state and to the cities by big developers for buildings such as this is going to take precedence over us little old residents who just pay a little bit of property tax every year? Doesn't mean anything. They'll just walk right over us. I'm in a similar situation. I had houses, older houses in front of me. They're being torn down to erect a parking lot and a strip mall. That's what I get to look out to. Nice trees and shrubs and flowers. I get to look at a parking lot.
And part of this is, are we involved in our city councils? Are we involved in the meetings, and are we discussing these things? Because all too often we just shed our responsibility as residents of our city. We just expect it all to work out. But that's part of the reason why we need to be involved in our community, to be able to see this and say, whoa, folks, do you have any idea what that means for me? What that does to my property values? And in my experience, when that is brought up in a very reasonable way, city councils, it's in their best interest to listen. Otherwise, they get voted out. It's not always just about the bucks, and the person that has the deepest pocketbook, they can push this through. You vote these people in and out, and you have some influence.
Let's remind our listeners, Dave, where this place is. It's along 3300 South. Let me tell you, if you're driving anywhere around 3300 South and you look up, you will see this building. It is so monstrous compared to the homes that it just dwarfs the homes that are in front of it. In fact, the city planner was on the line with us in the last segment, and he was very forthcoming. I was very pleased with the fact that he came on the air and said, you know what, we messed up, and we're going to try to make it right with the homeowners. We want to meet with the homeowners. We're setting a meeting between the mayor and the homeowners in that area to figure out what to do and what will make them happy. But it's about 33. It's along 3300 South, and it is owned by a bail bonds company. And the issue is this, that there was a mixed use permit. So multifamily housing combined with commercial. And things got sideways within City Hall, where everybody got confused about what was allowed. And somehow this 37-foot tall building ends up going up behind all these homes 10 feet away.
Well, and I asked this question, what if it hadn't been a shed? What if it hadn't been the Smurf blue shed, but it was a multifamily dwelling? So maybe some sort of apartment complex that is 25 feet tall instead of 37 feet tall. It's still ruining that perfect view. The problem is every time you build something, somebody's going to be angry. And I think it's a bad precedent to come in and say, listen, we're going to make up the difference. We're going to give you each $100,000 or $150,000 because we made a mistake.
You just said the problem is not everybody's going to be happy. No, the problem in this case, Dave, is that somebody at City Hall messed up. The city has said it. They've admitted it. They've admitted it on their air. So the question is, how do residents now get compensated for City Hall's mix-up? I think that's the question we need to be focusing on.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.